KALW.
You know, there's a Wikipedia article about it, literally, and it's called The Hum.
Have you ever heard of The Hum?
And I think that's what makes it so tricky is, again, it's like, it's subtle. It's so subtle.
It's happening right now, by the way.
It's happening like, right now?
I really feel it, yeah.
It's a mysterious noise that only 2% of people can hear, and it's been annoying residents in the Sunset District where there's been an outbreak of reports.
What was something that it was kind of just like one of the minor mysteries of life is now like this major, like, international scandal that, you know, maybe there's like this huge, you know, problem. Maybe this is like driving people to insanity.
Today, reporter Nicholas Harder gets to the bottom of this strange phenomenon. That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. We'll get into today's show by bringing on Nicholas Harder. Hey, Nick, welcome back to Cross Currents.
Hi, Hannah. Yeah, it's been a while. I think the last story I did was when the Golden Gate Bridge started humming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the hum from the wind passing through the rails. So, Nick, now you're back to talk to us about another hum. I guess that's like your beat now? The strange hums beat?
I guess so, yeah. I track down annoying sounds.
So tell us a little more about what led you to this next story.
Sure. So last year I did this story about the bridge. It was called Tracking Down a Mysterious Hum in San Francisco.
Someone knows though, right?
Yeah, someone knows for sure. That's loud. Right. So we're on Mitchman. Yeah, we heard out there on Mitchman, but we still don't know. We're asking too.
It was that story which inspired Dale Tutai to reach out to me about his house in the Sunset District, which he says hums and vibrates, and it keeps him and his family from getting any sleep. He says this is the third house he's lived in the neighborhood where he's felt this vibration and heard a hum.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Dale, how's it going?
Good. Come on in.
Got some chairs over here.
I'm with Dale. We're huddled in a corner of his garage, watching graphs form on his laptop screen. Dale's an engineer by trade, so this stuff comes naturally. He takes these graphs and puts them on a website he made to analyze possible causes of the hum. These graphs are generated by a thing called a data logger. It's this expensive vibration measuring device that Dale has attached to one of his water pipes. He's not sure that's where the hum is coming from, but he suspects it.
It seems like it's stronger on the street side, like the intensity or magnitude. But like whenever I think there's something obvious, then I like take a measurement that's like counter to that. So it's just, it's confusing, baffling.
Dale says he comes down here in the middle of the night to chase down the vibration when it keeps him up, which is often. I noticed the bags under his eyes the moment I walked in. His wife, Christina, can't hear or feel it herself, but she's convinced, like Dale, that it still affects her and their kids.
So we actually could see her heart rate, you know, spiking at certain times and, you know, and...
And it's at the same times that you are feeling this vibration.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I can feel it, you know, the shaking.
It starts,
and then sure enough, like... You know, our daughter woke up and then the other daughter woke up.
Dale says he's sure it's affecting the neighbors too.
And then 2 minutes later, we can hear their baby crying too. That's also happened with the house behind us. And we've seen that at every place, like bathroom lights come on, like from neighbors' buildings, you know, like the TV across the street, like they always have their TV on early in the morning on those like really bad days. It seems so obvious.
There are a handful of people in the Sunset District who also hear a hum. They've found Dale through his website and the social media app Nextdoor. But most people he talks with don't take it that seriously.
And I think that's what makes it so tricky is, again, it's like, it's subtle. It's so subtle.
It's happening right now, by the way.
It's happening
like,
right now?
I really feel it, yeah.
I agree to look into this hum for Dale. And to learn more, I head over to the house of this guy named Nelson Sarney. He met Dale through Nextdoor.
So, she's off?
Yeah, downstairs is fine. I figure to talk, we'll go upstairs, more comfortable.
But. Okay, cool.
Nelson's a musician, so he's actually made recordings of the hum. I'm on his couch, put headphones on, and I plug him into this 8-track recorder on the coffee table.
So let's see here. Project 8. I think the good one was, there we go.
Nelson plays it back, and at max volume, I can just barely hear something that sounds like some kind of ominous creature breathing. Then Nelson shows me the post he made on Nextdoor, in which he describes the hum he hears and asks if anyone else in the hood is hearing something similar.
I looked at it a few days later and just saw like this tremendous chain of replies, and I didn't even read them.
Nelson's post got more than 100 comments from like 60 different people. And now, Hannah, I did end up personally speaking with 9 of them, and they all do seem to be hearing something similar.
So what do they say they hear?
Well, they're usually the only ones in the house who hear it. They say it's only heard indoors, even in some rooms better than others, and it's low-pitched, like a distant truck idling. But they all hear it at different times of day and at varying intensity, which tells me that while these folks all seem to be hearing some sort of similar hum, it's probably not coming from the same source.
We're gonna do physics.
Oh, are you gonna do the bass guitar now or what?
We're back at Nelson's house. He's holding his bass guitar up in the air to show me how it picks up on electromagnetic fields, which he suspects is the source of his hum. You see, power lines, any kind of electric appliance, generate their own field.
Ooh, it kind of bends.
This is essentially acting like an antenna.
The guitar is, when you move it around like that.
Yeah.
It's just interacting with
the magnetic field of our world, of our electronic world.
It's cool, man.
Okay. So,
wherever his hum is coming from, Nelson's sure that it's just another consequence of living in a built environment. This world we made that runs on engines and electric current.
I can't imagine like something in nature really making a sound like this.
Nelson is absolutely right. And this, Hana, is where the story gets weird.
Weird how?
Well, as it turns out, there have been numerous hums reported all over the country and all over the developed world.
You know, there's a Wikipedia article about it, literally, and it's called The Hum.
Okay, so The Hum. Nick, you gotta tell me more about this.
Definitely. So the first hum that made big news was in Bristol, this industrial town in Britain, and that report was way back in the 1970s. There have been others in Kokomo, Indiana, in Denmark. More recently, there was a hum in Canada in Windsor, Ontario. That stopped after a nearby steel mill was closed. I found this one University of New Mexico study. It says that up to 2% of people in any populated area might be able to hear a hum. And they all describe the same thing, right? A low-pitched sound that's only heard indoors and that sounds like a distant piece of machinery or an engine idling.
In reading these accounts, it's like, oh, I hear the same thing. Mm.
And is that comforting or like?
maybe it's a little disconcerting because, you know, what was something that was kind of just like one of the minor mysteries of life is now like this major like international scandal that you know, maybe there's like this huge, you know, problem. Maybe this is like driving people to insanity.
The international nature of this hum really hits home for me after I do a shout out on Reddit for an acoustical engineer just to help me wrap my mind around all of this. And I get a response from Alex Mendoza, who lives in Sydney, Australia.
I love this stuff. I love acoustic mysteries, and I really enjoy the satisfaction of figuring out these kinds of problems.
Alex is so not surprised by Dale and Nelson's stories. He works for a firm that gets hired to investigate and measure noise levels. Mostly it's pretty banal. They help people make sure that whatever construction or activities they're doing aren't surpassing legal noise limits. They often get called out to power substations, for example.
And occasionally people complain about the hum from those substations. And we have to go out and measure them in the dead of night and just see if that actually is what it is. Because sometimes it isn't. It's just a mystery sound.
One time, his crew was called out to investigate a hum in someone's home near one of these substations. But when they went out with all their microphones and meters, they couldn't detect anything.
And so maybe a few nights or a week later, he called me back and he said, it's happening right now. So I jumped in the car. This was about maybe 11:30 or midnight or something like that. I jumped in my car, drove down to the suburb, took some measurements, and yeah, there it was.
Even though he can't hear it, Alex can see the hum on his meter. So he takes his microphone and he's following this sound, watching the screen as it gets stronger or weaker as he moves away from the house in different directions.
And so I probably spent maybe 2 or 3 hours just wandering around the neighborhood, taking some measurements, and determined that it was definitely not the substation, but it was something else. And so what I ended up finding was that it's a kitchen exhaust fan, actually, the discharge from the kitchen exhaust fan.
He sent me a picture of this exhaust fan. It's just a typical vent that you might see snaking up the side of any building. When air moves through a vent like this, it can be like blowing over the top of a gigantic empty glass bottle. This vent was halfway down the block, and the sound had to pass through a brick wall to penetrate into this person's bedroom.
And one thing I've noticed with this hum is almost everyone I've spoken with, they hear the hum indoors and not outdoors.
Yeah. And so typically when you go outside, the noise is all still there. There's plenty of infrasonic stuff going on, but you don't hear it because, one, humans are very, very insensitive to low-frequency sounds. And two, the normal background noise, the wind, traffic noise, everything else, just masks that noise very easily. But what happens is when you go inside and you got your walls and your windows, that basically acts like a low-pass filter, filtering out all that sort of high frequency stuff, and you're left with low frequency stuff.
Okay, Nick, I have to interrupt here. Now, we work in audio, so we have some idea about low frequency and pass filters, but can you explain what Alex is saying for people listening?
Yeah, well, so low frequency is easy. That just means low pitch. The pass filter, he's saying that the walls of your house block out high-pitched sounds better than low-pitched sounds. So when you're outdoors, you mostly hear the higher frequencies, but when those get filtered out by your walls, right, the only sound that can come inside is low frequency. But actually, you know who can explain this better is our sound engineer, James Rowlands.
Oh, hey, James.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so you're on the right track, Nick. Sound is made up of waves, right? Imagine you drop something into a bathtub and you get these ripples that bounce back and forth. That's like how sound waves bounce around the room. A high pitch or a high frequency sound would be like dropping a stone into the tub, and you get these ripples. A low pitch or a low frequency sound would be like dropping a bowling ball into the tub. You get these big ripples, like waves. The small ripples get stopped by the edge of the tub. The bigger, slower wave, that could slosh right over.
Okay, so that's what's happening with this vent. It's creating this low-frequency sound wave that's spilling over into this person's room.
Well, it's piercing through rather than spilling over. But essentially, yeah, that's right. And big or small has nothing to do with the volume in this case. Even if it's loud, a high-pitched sound is still easier to block out than a quiet, low-pitched sound.
Cool, yeah, and that's important because that's why these low-frequency hums are only heard indoors. They're covered up outside because they're quiet, but then inside when everything else is blocked out, they're more noticeable.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned that vent. Those create really low-pitched, long sound waves, probably under 50 hertz.
Okay, you have to say what hertz are now, James.
Oh, yeah, right. Hertz is the unit of measurement for sound pitch or frequency. An example, an opera singer hitting a high C is about 1,000 hertz. That's a really short wave, not even a foot long. The lowest note on a bass guitar is just under 50 hertz. That's a much longer wave, like more than 20 feet.
Okay, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, 20 times longer. Any sound under about 100 hertz makes a wave that can pass through just about anything, including earplugs.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Thanks, James. So, Nick, can you remind me how all of this connects?
Yeah, so that helps explain why these hums can be so annoying, and also why they're heard better in certain rooms over others, like even in the same house. Alex Mendoza, he told me that normally when a sound wave enters a room, it bounces around everywhere and dissipates, right? But if the size of the room matches up with the size of the wavelength, instead of dissipating it, it can bounce back and forth and amplify it.
And if you're sitting in a particular point in the room where it's really emphasizing that wavelength, you'll hear it crystal clear, crystal clear. Because the room itself is resonating at that frequency.
In both of the cases Alex told me about where he successfully chased down one of these low-frequency hums, it was coming from an exhaust fan. At first, this got me excited. Like, maybe I ought to go start looking for exhaust fans around Dale Tutai's and Nelson Sarney's houses. But Alex confirms what Nelson suspected, which is that this type of sound can really be generated by any number of things.
Anything from industrial facilities, manufacturing plants, industrial machinery, ventilation plant as well. You got all kinds of ducts and exhaust pipes and motors and things that are happening all the time everywhere, making all kinds of noise at all different kinds of frequencies. Traffic noise, engines, even like you've experienced at your place with the bridge itself, you get weird kind of resonances happening from structures and things that happen.
The hum that Nelson hears at his house, we measured at 60 hertz, which is the frequency of alternating current. Alternating current powers our entire electrical grid. Anything with moving parts that's plugged in, like an AC fan or electrical motor, can vibrate at 60 hertz and induce a corresponding sound, thereby creating another hum. And like Alex said, the electrical grid is by far not the only source of hums.
So essentially, if you're within the built environment, especially in cities, you're bathed in noise 24 hours a day. It just never goes away.
Picking sounds out of this sonic soup can be difficult. It can take a team of acoustical engineers like Alex days, sometimes weeks, to locate the source of a hum. Easily costs thousands of dollars. That's why Alex's firm is usually hired by companies and businesses and not the affected residents themselves. That story he told about getting up in the middle of the night to chase down someone's hum, yeah, he wasn't able for liability reasons to even tell that homeowner where their hum was coming from.
Because we weren't engaged by him, we were engaged by the power company because he had complained to the power company. And so whether he can talk to them and get the report that I did is a different story, it's out of my hands.
Right, because they just care about, okay, it's not us.
Yeah, that's right. So they just want an answer whether they need to do something or not.
All right, let's do a quick reset here. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and we're talking with reporter Nick Harder about these annoying hums that people in San Francisco have been hearing in their homes. So, Nick, we know these hums are low frequency and that they resonate in certain structures more loudly than in others.
Right. Which explains in part why I read in more than one study, actually, that there's nothing special about people who hear hums. I mean, it's not like they have particularly good hearing or anything.
Okay, but does any of this help you figure out where the hums in the Sunset District are coming from?
Not really. They could be from the same source, but probably not. You'd have to go investigate each individual hum, and that's prohibitively expensive, so...
So if you are in this 2% of people who are susceptible, one day you start to hear an annoying hum in your house and you can't figure out where it's coming from, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. To be clear, you know, most of the folks I spoke with weren't as annoyed by their hums as Dale Tutai, who did go sleepless for years. Most people, they tune it out with white noise or it just becomes part of their life, you know, something they learn not to bring up with house guests because no one else can hear it and it makes them seem crazy. But Dale, he actually had complained to the city about it.
Okay, did the city do anything?
Yes and no. He submitted a noise complaint, and how those work here is you call 311, you get connected with a dispatcher, and the dispatcher will send your complaint to the appropriate department according to what the complaint is about. So if you're complaining that your neighbor is, like, blasting music too loud, you get sent to the police non-emergency line. If you complain about noise from airplanes, they'll forward you to the airport, so on, so forth. There is no one there to hunt down mystery sounds for people, right? So you can't just call them and tell them, I'm bothered by this noise and I don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Is that what Dale did?
No. So since Dale suspected that the source of his vibration hum was his water pipes, he complained about that, and the city dispatched a technician from the water department to investigate the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
They determined, essentially, you know, pipes working normally, well within ambient levels, and so case closed.
So what did Dale do after that?
A lot. He made his website, he contacted his city council person, he contacted the EPA, he contacted the health department, he reached out to different publications. And, you know, none of it really got him anywhere. So he moved. like he left the state entirely. I have since checked up on him just to see how he is, if he still hears a hum.
It's been just a couple weeks, but what is life like now without feeling this vibration all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty drastic difference, really. Like, I mean, it's like the sleep deprivation side of it, that has like completely gone away. I feel like I'm like twice as productive as I was before and just like not forgetting things. And I really felt like I was pretty miserable before. Yeah, it's crazy. Like my daughters wake up and they're just happy. And
but that's got to be a huge relief to see the impact that that has on your daughter's ability to just like be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating that, like, I feel like we're traumatized.
Wow, that is really sad.
Yeah.
So Dale and his family left, but plenty of other people who hear the hum are still here. Did any of those other folks you spoke with complain to the city?
Nope, none of them. I asked them why, too. They said either it didn't bother them enough, or they didn't think the city would do anything about it, or both. A couple of them said they'd read on Nextdoor about how difficult it had been for Dale to get help, actually, and that that had informed their decision not to reach out.
I mean, it sounds like they're right, that there's not much the city can or will do.
No, yeah, they're right. As big as the San Francisco budget is, you know, there's no city employee whose job it is to help locate and mitigate strange and annoying sounds.
Right.
However, I am obligated to say that San Francisco, true to its rep, is still progressive on this. So the San Francisco Noise Ordinance establishes an acceptable ambient level for low-frequency noise and says that you can't go a certain amount above that level. I looked up the noise ordinances for San Jose, Sacramento, Los Angeles, San Diego, and not a single one even mentions low-frequency noise.
Really?
Yeah. Many cities use a plainly audible standard, meaning if the sound is easily heard at a certain distance, it should be mitigated.
Mm-hmm.
Cities, they like that standard because it can be enforced by any police officer. So you don't need highly trained people like Alex Mendoza or expensive equipment.
So a plainly audible standard is basically cheap to enforce. But that's not very helpful for a noise that only 2% of people can hear.
Hana, that's exactly right. So even in San Francisco, the law doesn't take into account how these low-frequency hums, they can be annoying even within ambient levels. And I mean, in general in this country, we're behind the research when it comes to noise enforcement. And we don't provide the necessary resources to help people like Dale. Until that changes, you know, people are left to try to find the source of their hums on their own. And a lot of times they won't be able to figure it out. So yeah, the reality is people who are impacted do have to cope the best they can. And I went to talk with somebody who can help them do that.
Oh, James. Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Come on this way. Thanks. I was just about
This is Dr. Tracy Peck. She's an audiologist and director of the Hearing and Speech Center here in San Francisco. I met her at her office there.
Yeah, I'm going to shut the door. I am going to keep my mask on, though, so, but I talk really loud, given the job, so.
She specializes in the treatment of tinnitus, or as a lot of people say it, tinnitus.
For both the low-frequency noise hearers and for tinnitus, there's a lot of parallels.
I know from my research that folks don't necessarily like to be told to seek treatment for their hums, which is understandable, and I'm not recommending tinnitus treatment per se. Really, what Dr. Peck gives us is just a deeper understanding of how the brain works. She tells me that once we start to pay attention to a new sound, say like a hum you just noticed,
the perception of that sound can actually be perceived as being louder. And if there is that connection between it sounding amplified and that emotional connection is a negative connection where it's a fearful or worrisome reaction, it tends to create this loop where that sound is perceived as being louder and causing kind of that negative feedback loop.
While it's likely a combination of factors, this is the strongest explanation we have for one of the biggest mysteries surrounding the hum, and that is why some people can hear it while others in the very same household will not. This is according to studies out of the University of Salford in England. When the hum triggers an emotional response rather than getting tuned out, that could be the beginning of this process of internal amplification. That process, difficult to interrupt, both with hums and with tinnitus. Even many doctors do not know that it's possible.
When I was reading some of the research, that a lot of people have gone to see different professionals for both of these things and been either kind of dismissed or told, like, there's nothing you can do about it, just learn to live with it. And it's not true. There actually are a lot of things you can do.
The reason that many doctors will say there is no treatment for tinnitus is because for most forms of the disease, there is no drug one can take. There is no surgery one can have that will get rid of it. Similar to a hard-to-locate hum, you cannot fix the source of the issue. However, you can manage the symptoms to the point where it becomes negligible. And they do that through this process called habituation.
So habituation is going through this retraining process to help the brain learn to filter out whatever the bothersome sound is.
My understanding is that we habituate a lot of sounds all the time, right?
We habituate to sounds all the time, exactly. If you move to a house that's near the airport, and when you first move in, the sound of those planes taking off is pretty loud, right? Pretty noticeable, pretty novel at first. And then over time, your brain learns, okay, that's not important. It's also something that's there all the time. It's not dangerous. It's not something I need to alert to. I'm gonna filter it out and it's gonna go into the background.
It's the same concept as why you don't feel the clothing on your skin all day long. Our brains tune it out or habituate non-important information and amplify what we need to pay attention to.
And it kind of goes back to, you know, in cavemen days, like if you hear a rustle in the bush, is that something that is gonna try to come and eat you? and you need to run away for safety? Or is it possibly something that is of interest and you wanna actually like go towards it?
We can't always control our emotional responses, right? Especially for low frequency noise, which, like I've said, has been shown to be particularly annoying. It's not a person's fault if they're bothered by a hum. That's why tinnitus treatment and habituation exists, to retrain your brain to tune it out.
For the purposes of the patients that I see, they have learned to get their brains to basically filter out that sound to the point where it is no longer bothersome, it is barely perceptible.
For our purposes, habituation breaks down into two elements. First, there's mixing, where you mix the hum you hear with another more pleasant sound, and that can retrain your brain to then tune both of those sounds out. That's a little easier to do at home. Then there's also mindfulness, which is a little more difficult to do on your own. It's basically just noticing one's thoughts around the sound and trying to have a different emotional response.
So there is a lot you can do, actually. So hopefully that's the takeaway also from this, is that, yeah, they're not crazy. They're not, you know, their situations are not hopeless. There's actually a lot that they can do. And, you know, hopefully from this, like, they maybe have someone to reach out to and get support.
Well, Nick, really interesting stuff. Thanks for diving deep into this subject. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will benefit, especially if they hear the hum.
Yeah, 2% of them, right? Well, thanks, Hannah. And I'll make sure that more info and resources for how to find help if you are experiencing a hum, that will be in the web version of this story.
Thanks. And that will be at kalw.org. That's Nicholas Harder, our Bay Area Strange Hums reporter. That story was sound designed by KALW's James Rowlands. Tune in to Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear the story of how a young Black man in Walnut Creek was killed by police while in mental distress.
His death in the middle of a sunny day and on a big cul-de-sac wasn't warranted. You know, people need to give him time and distance, and they didn't do that.
How activists and lawmakers are pushing for non-police response to mental health crisis calls tomorrow at 5. Today's Cross Currents team includes Caroline Duro, Elizabeth Aranda, Gabe Graben, Victor Tenz, Shirin Adil, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.